fire up 13. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Public nudity.
Go.
Illegal narcotics.
Go.
Dog shagging.
We'll go flat.
Bubbler.
Bubblers go.
Poo in the shoe.
Go flight.
Road rage.
Go flight.
Roid rage.
Where to go.
Brown paper bags.
Go.
Eclipse containers.
Go.
Chinese restaurants.
Go flight.
Peanut butter photography.
Go.
Billy Idol. Billy Idol. Billy Idol.
Just wait for some power.
Breezers.
Where I go.
Phantom biters.
Lighters go.
Fingers and dates.
Where go flight.
Launch control. This is Fire Up 13. We are go for launch.
Fire Up 13 is, well, on our near disaster mission this year to achieve some sort of immortality, and we couldn't do it without Big Chris and Little Chris. Oh no, Little Chris is no longer with us, is he?
Little Chris has had his moments over the last 2 weeks, Stephen, that's for sure.
Well, we were all thinking about you. Last week I put out a call and I said, please think about dear populace, Fire Up populace of how many? 13 listeners? Please, remember...
One for every year.
Remember, Chris is going in for a little look downstairs to see what Little Chris's action is up to. It's looking good though, isn't it, Chris?
What was that line in Seinfeld about it's like a scared turtle hiding inside its shell? And look, I'd love to thank all the Fire Up listeners for all the well wishes and flowers, yes, and yes, cards, but I didn't get any.
No, did not go into meltdown, did it?
I was expecting a personal note from the NRL.
Right.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Well, we are remembering you now, and we're happy you're here in the flesh, Chris, and leaner, faster, and I'm hoping more fine-tuned and ready to talk rugby league, because you had plenty of time on your hands, didn't you?
I had a lot of time to observe the game more closely and more keenly than is generally allowed, Stephen, and I don't know whether I'm faster, but I'm definitely lighter. I don't think the audience needs to know in what way, but they can draw their own conclusions. But, you know, you shed a little bit of extra baggage, a little bit of extra weight, and suddenly you become more relevant to the game. That's how I feel this morning.
Well, I think it's very, you know, it's what all the great religions talk about, that as you get older, and we're all getting older, let's face it,
the fact
of reality,
yep,
is, we all accrue things, and I think that depossessing is a very defining moment in your life when you can say, I don't need that retro stereo that I had to buy again, you know? I don't need my record collection of 40,000 CDs and vinyl, etc. I don't need that.
I'm not sure about that last statement, but yeah, you're right. I've gone through a sort of a physical decluttering of the garage, and now I have to actually declutter out of my garage, which is far more challenging. It's much easier when someone else is wielding the scalpel.
And in your case, a robot.
Yes, I was operated on by a robot. Yeah. And I refer it to, of course, the Melbourne Storm medical
team. Thank you, Craig Bellamy, for loaning the robot for the week.
People, I mean, there is talk of Bellamy, and we might go into it later, of Bellamy finishing his coaching career in Brisbane. But my God, the man has given a lot, not just to rugby league, but to medicine. I am a product of the medical advances achieved by the Melbourne Storm organisation, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart and literally from my bottom.
Literally from my bottom. Now, Chris, we're at the crossroads.
We are at the crossroads.
Fire Up,
round seven.
13 years. As we'll talk about a little later, the atrocity meter has barely, not even a whimper. Not even a flicker. It limp as lettuce this year.
I would have accepted a flutter.
A flutter.
But really.
Really, no atrocities, a couple of little misdemeanors, but nothing major to talk about. But of course, Todd Greenberg has taken issue with us over the years, and Todd would like us to talk up rugby league at this point, this juncture, because he said there are too many, what did I say, cynics, too many people willing to have a crack at rugby league, and I guess you put ourselves into that bracket, but for good reason though, isn't it, Chris?
Right. Well, first of all, I want to begin this discussion by saying I want to send all my best wishes to Mr. Greenberg and his family and all our due respects.
Yes, exactly.
But he certainly has created a dialogue. The backstory to this, Stephen, and he's labelled this person and others in the game and potentially us as crisis merchants.
Crisis merchants, yes. Well, look, we have often sold the story, and I think the facts back it up, that when there is a crisis in rugby league's looking pretty good.
That's right. Well, in fact, I think this show has sold a bit of merchandise on the back of that, haven't they?
Three coffee cups.
Atrocity meter t-shirt.
Atrocity meter t-shirts. I think even Danny the Dolphin t-shirts in the early days.
It feels like maybe Fire Up 13 should get a run this year with I don't really like rugby league, but I love Fire Up. But it all started when the esteemed rugby league journalist, and certainly I know as a fan of this show and we're a fan of his, Buzz Rothfield had a tweet about how he felt about the game. The tweet, and he's felt a bit embarrassed about it in terms of the language, but I think we need to, you know, language warning.
Put it in context. Where did he write this tweet, do you know?
On Twitter.
On Twitter. He wrote it on Twitter, did he? Okay. Where actually was he physically doing this, do you think?
I think it was on Saturday night on the back of having watched what was on offer. You know, it might have been, was it Brisbane, Newcastle?
So probably
Brisbane
Sylvania Warriors, or somewhere down south in the comfort of his home.
All right. Shall I give you the tweet and then give you what he said, the context? So the tweet was, rugby league is now a shit game.
Oh.
Right. And he's retracted from that over the week in terms of the use of the word.
He's one of the elder statesmen of rugby league. Is that really the best language you can come up with?
He's just said in ongoing public discourse, let's just say rugby league is now a crap game is what I should have said. Now, the first thing about Buzz was that, he wanted to explain, because people said, any alcohol involved in this, Buzz?
Have you had any drink tonight, sir?
And his answer to that was two light strength beers and two glasses of
wine.
He
knew that straight away.
Yeah.
That's suspicious automatically. Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether he was answering in total or per hour.
Per hour. Look, we all know that line, don't we? Yeah. Well, I probably had maybe two, you know.
And Buzz himself has this is what he feels his knowledge of rugby league is.
I've been covering football for four decades and I did not understand it.
Did not understand it?
Right.
Well, talk about taking lessons from the game that you apparently are the elder statesman of, Buzz.
Okay, so 40 years, doesn't understand it, says it's a crap game. Shockwaves go throughout rugby league.
Well, they took him seriously.
They took him absolutely seriously.
Even Todd. Did Todd answer him?
Can I read Todd's answer?
No, Todd, don't answer, Buzz.
But he did. Do you want to hear the answer? And be patient with me.
Okay.
In 2018, our crowds are up. TV ratings are up.
Up.
Participation junior registrations are up.
Even in Roosterland?
Even in Roosterland.
Yeah.
Well, that will maybe not.
Okay.
Overall, Penrith is papering over a lot of cracks there. Investment into grassroots is, what do you think?
Up.
Investment into our clubs and players is up.
What about consumption of grog?
Up. Premiership games played in the bush are?
Oh, definitely up.
Hello, Tigers. Hello, versus Newcastle. Yeah. Revenues are up.
Oh, good.
Get this, though. Costs are?
Oh, damn.
Down.
That's good then, Todd.
Hashtag NRL, talk the game up.
Talk it up. Talk it up.
The Supremo has said.
Is there a song?
There's got to be a
song.
The Supremo has said, no negative talk anymore.
No.
The crisis merchants, the Buzz Rothfields, I think he's having a crack at Gus Gould on the penalty discussion.
Don't bring us down, dudes.
And he's possibly, given that he's been on this show and seemed to enjoy himself, is probably including us in this.
Yes.
Is saying us complaining about there being no atrocities is churlish and against the interests of the great game we all love.
But every great CEO will know, let's not directly criticise someone like FireUp, for example, who are crisis merchants, let's face it. And we've been running on that for 13 years
open
now.
Open for business.
Even little crises, petty crises, misdemeanours. Just manipulate us, talk us around, encourage us, give us a pat on the back, and just slide in that talk it up.
Talk it up.
That motive.
We could do that, couldn't we?
We could do that. Look, I would love to talk. First of all, I'd say big ups to Erin Molan.
Yeah.
We were watching her last night on television. I don't think she gets enough props, as they say, in the street.
Because she's taken over the footy show from Fatty.
Yes.
And it did get a little bit of criticism early on as being
Fatty
beige.
Skinny, right?
Vanilla. Yeah. You know, Joey Johns looks like a trapped rabbit in the headlights.
The headlights,
like,
yes.
Get me out of here.
Yes.
You know, Gerds.
How old is Methuselah? He's looking old, isn't he? It's just the hair.
It's just the hair.
George Clooney style.
And look, I respect a man who allows his hair to go grey.
Yes.
I don't act like a man who allows his hair to go grey. But I respect a man.
Do as I say, not as I do.
That's right, yeah.
But Erin, she's 4 weeks off delivering a child, and she is just so competent on air. I think we're going to talk her up.
It's part of the game, rugby league. It's great to see it doing so well.
In other words,
presentation skills of compares
are
up.
Exactly. Now, what about Peter Beattie, the commissioner? Isn't he up?
Well, now, here's a man who's had a storied CV, Premier of Queensland, put on an absolutely outstanding Commonwealth Games, because let me tell you, in hospital, I had nothing else to watch.
Right.
And, you know, there was a little bit of consternation about the closing ceremony. So Magistrate Beattie got on the front foot and, you know, in doing the transition and sort of saying, hey, we could have done better. I could have not made a speech. And don't you love to hear that from someone after they've made it?
Yeah. I was once the Premier of a state. I'm the head of the Commonwealth Games and the Commissioner of the Rugby. Maybe I should have made a speech.
Right.
So, that's a funny thought, isn't it?
But these are the sorts of skills we need in rugby league. So the
honesty.
The involvement of politicians in rugby league is up. He gets on the, if you want to make an apology, I know where you go. You go on the Today Show with Carl Stefanovic and Georgie Gardner. The
only place.
Right. Mm. And of course, and many people have seen the vision during the week that while he was doing his mea culpa, I should have said nothing. There were too many speeches. There were probably too many performances. I'm sorry the athletes weren't part of the coverage. he saw the opportunity to transition to his new role as chair of the Australian Rugby League Commission because there's a kitty behind him in a hoop jersey, red and blue, vertical hoops.
Yes.
And he gets the kitty to come over and says, look, we've got a Newcastle Knights fan.
And there was no Gus Gould to ask the question. He just delivered it himself.
It wasn't like the great Gus Gould was in front of him putting him under pressure.
What jersey is this?
He goes, Carl wants to say hello. You're obviously a Knights fan.
Yeah.
Because he's wearing a Barcelona jersey.
Look, Chris, I want to talk up the game and I want to talk up the commissioner. Magistrate Beattie saw that. And look, he's a big picture man. It's visionary stuff because you wouldn't understand this.
Right.
I don't get it. Detail.
Right.
Leave that to the little people.
Except that he's realised that a bit of a baseline of detail is important. So between the Cronulla Hawks fiasco and this incident, at least he's established who the teams and the colours are. Now, he might actually get the design of the jersey wrong, but one would argue over the last month, Peter Beattie's skills in terms of the recognition of rugby league clubs and their brand is up.
But also, can I say in his defence, the number of jersey changes over the last 5 years is
up.
I can't follow them sometimes. Who is that again playing? Who is that? Get that right, please. Peter Beattie should get that right for simplicity, for obviousness, for just general comprehension.
What would you allow? I mean,
one jumper.
Right. Why does...
Never changes.
Why does St. George Illawarra have to play in anything other than the red V?
Exactly. Some sort of kowtowing to those southerners, you know? Yeah. The Illawarra folk. They don't need kowtowing to. They should be proud St. George fans.
They're merged.
They're done.
And in business, when a smaller organisation is put into a joint venture with a larger organisation,
they get osmosed.
They are completely obliterated.
Now, thank you, Peter Beattie. I would also say one of the great stories. Well, first of all, it's nearing, Chris, State of Origin.
Oh, is
getting
it
closer.
Are we allowed now?
We can start officially.
Round 7 and start talking
about
it?
Well, I think that they've got the jump on us anyway. They're already talking it up, you know.
I tell you, that's something that Peter Beattie should do, is actually legislate the time. Because aren't you always frustrated when they're starting to plug Christmas?
Christmas,
You know, at the October long weekend.
A year before.
And then at the Boxing Day sales, hot cross buns go on sale.
Yes, for Easter.
Surely they need to legislate a date which you can't discuss origin.
Zip it until that point. Yeah, it's just held. Don't even say a word. We're going to start the conversation right now. And of course, Freddie Fittler, the new coach.
Yes.
Space Cowboy. He's got some novel ideas, hasn't he?
Well, he's probably picked some guys who can play. That'd be a novel idea. Yes.
Is Mitchell Pearce in the mix?
You know, he's not being mentioned in many dispatches. Apparently, he's enjoying what he's doing up at Newcastle.
Where do you get your dispatches from? How do they arrive?
Like everybody else.
Or a pigeon.
Yeah, vacuum tube and pigeon.
Either or.
Sometimes a pigeon in a vacuum tube. Well, and I, you know, somber note, I believe Marty Kennedy is being sentenced next week, but anyway.
Marty Kennedy. Now, that's the sort of grub stuff we want to hear more about.
Well, hang on. Whoa. No, don't. You can't talk about that.
Sorry, I went into talking up.
We're talking this game up.
Can I just say, hashtag HGIRL.
How
good is rugby league? I just got my tattoo, you know.
I'll join you.
Okay. Let's hashtag talk it up here. So Freddie Fittler's decided that for every training session, and he's already in the running now for those that potentially could be in the mix, including the juniors, he brings in a coffee van.
Wow. And this is...
Wow, exactly.
Yeah, and he's going back to the Gus Gould future.
Yes.
Is no more of this, you know, supporting football in the regions, Coffs Harbour, you know, Novotel Resort style. Holiday in Coogee.
Yes, back to roots.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to be much of a reach to find a coffee van in that area.
Is there any coffee in Coogee? But he's going to get his own coffee van so the players don't have to walk across the road.
How great is that?
How great is that?
You know,
Freddie.
Tackle bags.
Hats off.
Witch's hats.
Yep.
Coffee van.
Hats off.
By the way, I actually read the most recent Australian Bureau of Statistics information about Australians' consumption habits.
Mm.
And guess what they concluded about the coffee consumption of rugby league players?
Well,
it's
up. But then cancers are down. Or depending on which magazine you read every week. Coffee fixes cancer, coffee hurts cancer.
Well, this is because these magazines are divided into two lobbies, the coffee lobby and the tea lobby.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Now, look, unlike Buzz, Doogs has come out with a statement, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Yes, he's banning himself from the booze.
Well,
is this a PR stunt?
Let's face it, Doogs needs some PR. He's not going that great, nor are the Sharks.
He tried to find room for hashtag H-C-I-R-L, but there's no room left.
That's right. He's actually going through an inventory right now about which tattoos can he take off in order to create something more meaningful.
The Dragons, gone.
Canberra Raiders, get rid of it. There goes a big Viking off the left buttock.
What about the Cruiser? The vodka cruise.
Well, it's going.
It's going. Of course it is. Yeah.
Because he's taken the lead of his good mate Blake Ferguson, who's playing the house down and he's off the booze, and he's replaced alcohol with what?
Coffee?
No.
No. Tell me, Chris.
Fishing. And PlayStation.
Oh, how good is fishing, though? Yeah.
Well, you can. And of course, I hope Josh understands that you actually can get fishing games on PlayStation.
Well, why bother going out?
Like pro bass.
Can I say
capture or whatever?
The two greatest jobs in the world, bar none, one is watering the garden, and two is fishing.
Hosting fire up.
That's hard work.
Is hosing the garden a job?
Well, it can be. You can get paid for it. But what is it, the greatest job in the world, right?
You love fishing?
I don't know. I don't do it.
You've never fished?
I'm not patient enough.
My father is a very keen fisherman, and I fished a lot as a young person. We actually went fishing the other day, and it was a bonding experience.
Where do you go?
We went down to Wollstonecraft off a friend's marina, and apparently now you need a license. And so
can I say it? Nanny state, New South Wales. Come on,
so
a license.
So my father said, if the authorities come up, I'll be sweet, but you're gone.
Jump in the drink.
That's right. Swim, my boy.
So Doogs dumps the booze and you know, this is a play for goodwill for Freddie. You know, look, trust me, I'm okay this year. I don't know who that guy is over there, Blake Ferguson. Never seen him before in my life.
I think what they've done is that they want to establish that their own separate achievements qualify them to come together again, and they'll never be seen in another Joker draw.
Right. How good is rugby league? And let's talk it up. I want to talk about one man who's turning the rugby league on its head in the nicest possible way, and that is Ronnie Palmer.
Oh, yes, the new Tigers trainer.
Yes, right. He's trained everybody, though, hasn't he?
Pretty much. He actually played for Balmain in the 70s. So he's back to his roots.
He's one of yours.
You would argue Ronnie's, you know, always referred to as the porn star, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, and a nod to H.G. and Roy, Ted Mulry.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, jump in my car.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. So.
Darktown Strutters
Ball. Is he still got the moustache?
Jamaica. Yeah. Jamaican rum, was it?
We should play that, shouldn't
How good is that? and I think, look, he's definitely done the Blues. I think he's done Australia. I mean, he's probably best remembered as the Eastern Suburbs trainer, but he's been out of Penrith. But now he's back at his spiritual home.
Good set of legs.
Yeah, he's a fit man.
Yeah, yeah. It says Ronnie Palmer knew his magical box of energy.
There you go.
Could have backfired badly. I didn't know there was a risk to this.
Well, I mean, you know, boxes of energy have had a checkered history. There was the energy polarizer that Peter Brock tried to make popular back in the 80s. Didn't go so well.
This goes back to sort of trying to turn, you know, lump metals into gold, doesn't it?
Remember Benji wore the power bands whatever?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
There's a bit of mystic arts about all this.
The man with the moustache has been around the game for what seems like 100 years as a player turned trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pictured, wasn't he? He was caught on video. I don't think he did this as a stunt, did he?
No, this was just part of the pre-game ritual as the boys were about to go out onto Lotto Land, a.k.a. Brookvale Oval.
And as he called on every bit of his experience to come up with confetti-filled box of energy, which he sprinkled on the West Tigers moments before they ran out to face Manly last week. It's dramatic stuff, isn't it? Now, what did it look like? Can you retell the story here, Chris?
Well, it's not complicated.
No?
It's a cardboard shoebox.
Right.
And he's written
on top of
in texter.
Texter.
As opposed to text message.
Yes.
Hello, Ricky Stewart.
Yeah.
Box of energy.
Box of energy.
And he's taken the top off and he's taken handfuls of the confetti and sort of garlanded the players.
Well, you're old enough to remember when LSD came in paper form.
I'll answer yes to that.
You know, I mean, blotter style. Was there something in this? Was it just confetti, or was there something in this?
I don't know that Ronnie would take that risk. Mm. I mean, you know, the players seem to react in different ways, bemusement, amusement, and just generally pissed off.
When I did it, they had a chuckle. I would have had a chuckle. Yeah. It's like, does he do kids' parties?
Well,
that's all I want to know.
You always got to think of a career after football, Steve.
Yeah, tight pants, you know. Say, boys, moustache, looking good. The girls love it. I've got a little box of energy here.
I tell you what.
Let's go.
26-0 at half time.
Box of energy is up.
It seemed to work.
They had a chuckle, but it could have turned ugly, he says, and we could have got given a hiding. But it seems to be working. And I don't know if that's the magic of the West Tigers this year. And perhaps he didn't bring it out when you played Brisbane.
I think that Ivan Cleary has said, I haven't been able to get through to these boys. And they're now already resorting to stunts like this. Joey Johns was quite amusing about this last night. He said, "I should have, anytime I see confetti thrown in the air, I should have run the other way," referring to his checkered marital history. But look, you know, I think the combination of the planning and gravitas and organisation of Ivan Cleary and the sheer joie de vivre of Ronnie Palmer is a heady combination.
Talk it up.
In a game that is
How
up.
How good is Remy Lee?
It's up.
And everywhere we go, we had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, "Are you fired up?" And they were all fired up. And I asked them, "Are you ready to go?" And they're all ready to go.
Clay tells me, and he tells you, and he tells the wonderful listeners of Fire Up, who don't necessarily like rugby league, Chris. Did you know that?
I am.
Are you prepared to accept that?
I am increasingly being made aware of this fact, Stephen.
Otis Clay tells us the only way is up. Let's talk it up. And how much do we love rugby league?
I tell you what, though. You promised you were going to play the Yaz version, so you upset me. But I reckon, Todd Greenberg, hello to you and your family. What about the next rugby league promotional campaign with Yaz Cold Cuts Only Way
the
Is
only
Up?
The only way is up for the grand
That's
final. And really, you know, when they, you know, revivals have a sort of a lifespan, 20 years after the event, so to speak, it's a little fresher than, say, Barnsley, you know, a little fresher than some of the stuff that we've been delivering.
That we saw recently at the Commonwealth Games closing ceremony.
What was that, 1989 or something?
Takes me back to the Horton Pavilion, Stephen.
Now, the atrocity meter's still just sitting there limp doing nothing, Chris.
That's because we've been talking the game up.
It's no good to us.
Could we go to the dark side?
What do you do with a man named Jackson?
Well, we're immediately there.
What do you do with a man named Jackson? What do you do with a man named DCE? Daily Cherry Evans. What sort of name is that anyway? Where do they make that up? Daily Cherry Evans. It sounds like a product, doesn't it?
It does. You
Get
walk into a cafe
cherry
and they go, "What do you have, Mr. Ferris? I'll have my Daily Cherry Evans
Daily
cigarettes."
Cherry Evans, please. Yes. Ooh, that didn't go down too well.
With a twist of cinnamon.
Twist of cinnamon. Twist of lemon. he's an odd duck, though, isn't he?
He's a different sort of rooster, isn't he?
He's a different sort of guy. Rooster, but he's not a rooster.
Well, that's probably the problem.
Yes.
He probably fit better.
Absolutely.
Because right? let's face it, the Cherry Evans era at Manly Warringah started well with, I think, a premiership in, was it 2011 or something like that?
It didn't bode well, though, did it? It may have started well, but we knew that there was something, dark clouds on the horizon.
Yeah, it hasn't really rolled on since then, has it?
Now, and often one side says, "Look, I'm actually a good guy, you know. Look at my halo. I'll do a little special interview, et cetera, et cetera." And you go, "Maybe we've been harsh on Daly. Maybe Daly is the wronged person." Now, there's a bit of conflict now with another member, Jackson Hastings. It's a good name.
That's a rugby league name.
That's a great name, Jackson Hastings. Could be a star in a crime novel, couldn't it? Action hero.
A George Pelicanos joint.
Jackson Hastings walks down a dark street, trouble around the corner.
And clears house.
So what's going down with it?
Okay, so we were actually having an off-air discussion about what hell is like.
We were talking about, first of all, you know, facts and beliefs, you know, and what you're allowed to say and not allowed to say if you're earning $1 million a year. Israel?
You can't earn $1 million a year in rugby union, Charles.
Apparently you can.
Isn't it the poor cousin of rugby league now?
Who's the biggest sponsor?
Qantas.
Qantas is run by Alan Joyce?
Yes.
They've come out of certain some sort of leaning when it comes to the inclusion and, you know.
They've got a corporate value set, as do we.
A corporate value set. What do we stand for? Trouble.
Talking the game up.
Up. But we're going to talk it down now.
Yeah, why not?
Let's talk.
Let's have a crack.
Okay, so Trent Barrett, the coach of Manly Ringers, says, I wish it hadn't come to this. And he foresaw these dark clouds, not just with Daly Cherry, with Jackson Hastings and the trouble that was brewing. And man management is one of the great things a coach has to be able to do. And he thought by just sticking him in the feeder comp that that may solve the problem, but it hasn't, has it?
Well, no, I mean, first of all, you've got a real issue in Manly that your feeder team is Blacktown. I mean, the transport costs alone are enormous. I think it's a 40-kilometre journey. Second, by the way, I think man management is all the first grade rugby league coaches do in the NRL these days. Because let's face it, they're all rugby league first graders. They know how to play the game.
Exactly.
Right, so he's had to...
Whose voice is that, by the way?
Mine.
I thought you were channeling somebody.
No, there might have been a touch of Frank Hyde.
Frank Hyde, that's what I say.
And we did play Frank Hyde doing Danny Boy. And why had there been no other rugby league commentators that sing?
Yes, exactly.
There is an opportunity right now.
Wait, can I talk it up?
Yes.
Ray Hadley.
Yes.
What about, not poetry readings, I reckon an actual, cover a whole lot of great songs, and there's your classic Danny Boy.
Spoken word over country and western tunes, or actually singing?
I think a mixture of both.
Yeah.
Take some advice from Golden Tonsils, you know. Mix it up with Frank Hyde. Ray Hadley, you got a career.
Well, surely his commentary career won't go for much longer, so you better get cracking.
Yeah.
So there's been this integration issue, I think, with Jackson. He's sort of come from, you know, let's face it, a checkered background, the Roosters and the Dragons. I mean, that's not really a nursery that any rugby league player is going to flourish in my opinion.
No.
And he's landed in Manly, which is now beleaguered by salary cap restrictions. And he's not been getting along with the boys.
Right. Well, Trent Barrett says here, it's not the players' fault. I think it would be unfair of me and the club to make them take questions. So, because he sent some unknown to a press conference to deal with this vexing issue. I've never heard of him. Apasai Kurasai, I've never heard of him. Don't know who
he's
doing.
Likely to be the Origin hooker this year, Stephen. But don't worry. don't worry about that.
Yeah, we need more. Where's Cherry Evans? Anyway, so on it goes. Now, apparently they were up north in Gladstone, home of the Mango. Hello, Gladstone.
Hi, Gladstone.
And there was not one, but we think maybe even two come to blows moments.
So there'd been something in February out at Narrabeen, but look, it's hot and steamy out there, so we can probably look past that. But the boys have gone up to play the Titans, because the Titans are a team without a home during the Commonwealth Games. And there was a bit of a stoush at training. Mm-hmm. And then the boys went and let off a bit of steam, as you would in the tropics. They went to the boardroom strip club.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've ever been there, Stephen.
I have not. I've not been to Gladstone.
It's a theme. The performers are all dressed like executives of our high-powered.
And you've got a wax model of Frank Sinatra sitting at the end of this chairman of the board.
Yeah,
right?
and it's sort of conceptual. They come out and they go, and here's Ms. Tumbling Share Price. And as the share price falls,
she performs, does she?
Close the shed.
Wow, that's incredibly clever.
So it's not your straightforward strip club. It's somewhat conceptual.
Only in Queensland, Chris.
So this is, you know, Manly is a cerebral team at the best of times.
Is this heading to Mona?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
So I think it's the perfect way to warm up for the Titans game. I have no idea whether they went to this before or after the Titans game. I suspect both. And it's gone back to the rooms at the hotel.
Before you get there, I want to go back to this this. What's it called again? The boardroom.
Yeah, the boardroom strip club.
You know, sort of sensitivities and progressive movements doesn't quite... Well, it probably doesn't go past the Gold Coast if it even reaches that sort of level, does it? You get to Gladstone, you get these sort of things happening. Glorious stuff, Chris. Something to do with the hot weather, right?
Can I say I was once at a... I think the term is stag party on the Gold Coast, and we went to Sin City, which is a nightclub that's always seemed to be in the news. And I arrived with 27 other males, and they said, how many are there you boys? We go, 28, and they go, come in.
In Sydney?
Not much chance of
no
that
chance
happening.
At all.
Because we're not a nanny state up in Queensland.
No, exactly. So so they've come the blows. Now, what is wrong with Jackson? What's his problem? Has he got a problem?
Well, as Johnny Lydon once said, two sides to every story, Stephen.
Yes.
And apparently there's a hazing culture in Manly, allegedly.
Define hazing, please.
So Jackson might be, you know, because let's face it, even though he's not a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's new to the club. Mm-hmm. And I think we all, certainly for the first 3 years that I was on this show, mm-hmm. I would routinely go back out to Regent Street and find my car on bricks.
Yeah. Just a bit of hijinks.
Yeah.
Local boys having fun.
Yeah. You'd got Pat and Bronco Reg to go out and take my tyres off.
A bit of a job getting those bricks and hauling them around. But, you know, it's just fun. It's fun. It's boys being boys.
So apparently the Manly boys have done things like hid Jackson's shoes.
Ah, now I see where you're coming
which
from.
Which is great stuff. Covered his shower's car in shaving cream.
Shaving cream. What about the old... Well, okay, the Glad wrap on the toilet.
We
love that one.
Short sheeting. Deadly brown snake under the pillow.
Deadly brown snake.
By the way, this is actually how they got onto the Manly salary cap breaches.
Prawn heads in the curtain rod or your hubcap.
Once they heard that Manly players were able to afford can after can of shaving cream to lather up Jackson's car, they go, how could they afford this on these contracts?
So, you know, there's nothing funnier, is it, than coming out every morning and finding, you know, something scrawled, sprayed across your car or your tyres missing or shampoo or whatever you call it on your window. No,
the Manly guys would call it bonding.
Yes.
Jackson's taken umbrage.
We don't know what he went through as a kiddie, though, do we? Well, he could have been bullied from the day, you know, from the minute he went to preschool.
Well, his dad did play for the Roosters. I mean,
that's
you know,
enough, isn't it? Yeah, so he's carrying a load.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So he had to blow up one day, didn't he?
And I think he's been blowing up progressively, and it all came to a head up in the heat of Gladstone. And of course, what was interesting was the way the story was first sold was the players en masse approached Coach Barrett and said, we cannot play with this individual. Mm. Now, I didn't believe that.
Class action, so to speak.
I didn't believe that in the get-go sort of. Can you imagine an entire group of people saying, our illustrious leader, who happens to be DCE, we're standing with DCE as in a united unit, and we can't play with Jackson.
Right.
That, of course, now seems to be not the case because a number of players have come out.
It's flipped.
There's a campaign that's emerged.
Yeah. Hashtag Stand with Jackson. Stand with Jackson, And apparently, if you go down to Brookie, cars are driving past, they're screaming out the top of their lungs out the windows, right? And we all know, because I don't know about you, we affectionately call that area the stink.
Yes.
You know, and if he's so on the nose, apparently, that even the stink can't handle him, he's really on the nose. But he's not. There's a force that is standing for Jackson.
Apparently, during the Fanua Blake press conference yesterday, a car did actually go past and guys screaming out the window, Free Jackson!
Free Jackson!
Yeah.
And I suppose he's not jail, so to speak, but in a psychological manner, he is in jail, isn't he?
He's playing for Blacktown Workers. It's a prison.
Yeah.
And so it creates one of the great questions for me in modern rugby league is that Manly never go better than when they're absolutely rent asunder.
Yes, look
I
out.
Mean, their last premiership was when the established order hated DCE. Mm. I think, are we being manipulated in a way that we can't possibly see?
Yeah.
Under salary cap restrictions, a club divided, turning upon itself, facing the terrifying prospect of playing the 0-6 Eels, that Trent Barrett has somehow manufactured a way.
Derek Zoolander himself.
To steer. He's not just a good-looking man.
He's not.
He has set up the perfect maelstrom of conditions
for
Manly to go out.
Jackson back in. Everybody's going to tune in. First of all, the rain's going to go up, right? Because everybody wants to see the potential feud on the field.
It'll be like McGregor versus Mayweather to see Hastings back as his NRL contract obligates that has to be considered back
course,
into the first grade
the
team.
The two teams, the two halves of the team, the forwards, the backs, all the factions, the left, the right, Hastings v. Daly Cherry Evans, it's all going to go on.
And they'll be cheering off DCE and Jackson Hastings.
Separately.
Having beaten two factions,
Two factions, of course.
But at least heading in the one direction.
So, will the crowd have to spit? Will they put a fence up? Like in soccer?
Can you imagine? Will be questioned.
The Hastings crowd.
You go to Lolland now. You go, are you standing with Jackson or are you standing with DCE?
Because there are buttons out now, right? I stand with Jackson. I stand with DCE.
It'd be a bit like one of those weddings you go to. You know when it's really embarrassing when there's
funerals.
The groom's side and the bride's side. And one is much more heavily populated than the other?
The groom would be surely Jackson Hastings. He's more sort of machismo, you know. It's a bit more to him, isn't he? And the bride's side is Daly Cherry Evans, you know. Because he's a nice one, you know.
We're getting into gender politics here, Stephen.
I'm
really not strong at that because the minute we're getting into gender politics, we're talking this game down, and our job is to talk the game up.
No, it's not anymore, Chris. Fire up is at the crossroads, Chris. I keep telling you this.
Okay.
Where are we going?
So we're in front of. We're like Robert Johnson right now, are we?
We're split. We're a split personality, yes. So now, listen, let's get to a man who. Look, there's a quote in the paper I read this morning. It says, Fan wave saves grub.
Yes.
Fan wave. Josh Reynolds has emerged as one of the most popular players in the game. See, that's why we're in trouble. How can that possibly be? I ask you.
It's like professional wrestling went through this terrible thing that every time they established a heel, the crowd would go with the heel. And it wasn't until they made the owners of the organisation the ultimate heel that they got going again. The problem right now that every time a villain emerges, people adopt him. And this, of course, is the problem Manly's facing.
Right.
Because
the world's just upside down at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. 4 days ago, Jackson Hastings was a pariah. No one wanted to touch him.
Now he's a hero.
He's a hero.
Yeah, we love him.
He's up on shoulders.
He's getting Hollywood knocking his door.
We'll talk about Hollywood in a moment. But Josh Reynolds is the most likable player in the game.
And he was so much of a grubber in the old days that he was actually nicknamed Grub.
That's right.
And, of course, we love him for being a grub. But now he's no longer a grub. He can't call himself a grub. He hasn't earned the right.
You have to. It's like strip the. You know, if you're being demoted as a soldier, you have to strip the bands off.
I wouldn't call McInnes a grub anymore, would you?
McInnes.
McInnes.
No.
McInnes. I knew him well.
I thought you were trying to steer us back to St. George again. Michael Ennis is an ornament to the game.
Hang on. What did you just say?
You got caught hoisted on your own petard there.
Hang on. What's that song?
Marching in. You know, there was actually one thing I liked about that game, that the scoreline was 40-20. It was like the game was a tribute to the introduction of the 40-20, which was the only good thing Super League ever did for the game.
Yeah, okay. This is far off. Now, grubs, we're very in short supply. I'm very unhappy about that.
We need to regenerate grubs in the game.
Yes, now... Buzz Rothfield,
yes.
Come on down. Now, he's been in it for 40 years. He has no idea what he's talking about.
No, as he said.
And Buzz was having a crack this week. There were a couple of instances, weren't there? A Burgi, very big man.
Mm-hmm.
We would call him 115-kilogram gorilla, lifted his elbow in
this
full
is
flight.
Slamming Sam.
Slamming Sam Burgess, lifted his elbow straight in the windpipe. Josh Morris.
Yep.
Or was it Brett Morris?
Josh.
I can't tell them apart.
Josh.
Josh, okay. Josh will do. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're persona non grata after they left the Dragons.
They progressively left. At one stage, Brett and Josh were both playing for St. George Illawarra. Is that correct?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And then they just progressively left.
It was the genius, the great man, Wayne Bennett, that pushed one out. Another one, of course, twins. They can't be separated.
Yeah.
You know, so they had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Broke his father's heart.
Yeah.
Their father's heart.
Slippery.
Slippery Morris, yes. And
they've scored more than about 380 tries between the three of them. It's a monumental achievement.
But they're in a dud team. Let's face it. Dud. Dud.
Did you see that absorbing game last night?
How good is rugby league?
I love rugby league.
It's in safe hands when the Roosters play Canterbury Bankstown at 6-0.
Listen, John Howard used to talk about the 50s as a relaxed and comfortable place, and we all knew that, you know, we lived then under the threat of nuclear war, incredible discrimination and inequality in society. But the 80s was great.
Yes.
And I was transformed back to the mid-80s with a 6-0 scoreline.
And you know, yes, it was called absorbing. By Ray Hadley.
Constantly called absorbing.
But we're not here to talk it up, we're here to talk it down.
See, Hadley's got the memo, because he's talking the game up and uses the word absorbing.
Whereas the rest of the country...
would use the word boring.
We're watching it going, 11,000 people there. Yes, that's so Roosters. Down. 6-0. Down. When I only saw the last 5 minutes, I was out working. I came home to 5 minutes of seeing this plodding team, which was Canterbury Bankstown, which was Eastwood, Michael Jackson fan.
Yes.
As second receiver, that's going nowhere fast, and that's all the Roosters could put on them? Really? Okay. Anyway, this big man, Sam, the gorilla, he claimed, he was very upset during the week, wasn't he? Because he claimed that Josh Morris, was it Brett? Josh Morris was acting, that he went down pretending, and that is the lowest act that a rugby league player can do, is to pretend they're hurt, to milk a penalty. We all know what milking can do. I mean, you can milk anything. Look at Derek, what's his name? Ben Stiller. You can milk anything, can't you? Cats you can milk.
So you're saying that in rugby league parlance, you know, you could go the squirrel grip, you could punch a guy in the head, and it's a worse offence to fake that it hurts.
The fake pain, that's right.
Yeah, fakes that it hurts, right, interesting.
Because then you're entering into soccer territory.
Right, well.
You can't go there.
Can't touch that. Well, you can, according to Peter Beattie, because you can merge Barcelona and Newcastle into some sort of super club.
Oh, dear, is that where we're going? He's a big thinker, I told you.
I tell you, if... the West Tigers get purchased by Manchester United, I am handing in my membership.
Right. Now, another man this week. Look, I have to say, they say you're either in the for or the against camp with Billy Slater.
Oh, you jumping off the... you didn't talk about Josh Morris's right of reply. I mean, do we want to hear what... Sam Burgess said something.
Yes, let's have a listen.
I think the reaction of the opposing player had a big influence on the result as well. Players rolling around and milking it or... trying to get a career in Hollywood after playing football, and I think we might get some better results. It ended up costing me a couple of weeks, but I guess they'll say, well, don't put your elbow there, but Look, that's football. Like, we play contact sport. Yeah, we play to sports. Get up and get on with it.
What did he say? I heard the word Hollywood. I know he's got that from Russell Crowe, so he's got some acting lessons himself.
That's right. But
surely.
Is this a fair accusation from Sam? There are two accusations we need to deal with here. Mm. We'll come to whether the injury was faked or not in a moment. But the first is that he was attempting to advance his prospects in Hollywood. Can we just quickly think of all the rugby league players who have actually made that transition to Hollywood?
Well, Ian Roberts, I would say, has got the best shake in it.
Well, he was Superman Returns.
Yes.
Admittedly, that was filmed here in Australia.
Yes.
All right.
They need a local extra.
Matt Nable jumps out to me. You know,
TV.
No, he's done a few Hollywood movies, but now he's back calling rugby league.
I just love the way that face moves. Matt Nable's face just doesn't move, does it?
So, can you give me anyone else?
Hang on. Thinking. So Hollywood doesn't really...
It's not like Neighbours. It's not a production line for
Hollywood.
It's
not an open
Hollywood.
Door. Come on in, red carpet, Australia, rugby league players.
So I think that was a rough part of Sam's allegation. And also, one of Australia's leading spinal surgeons has joined the debate.
Oh.
Doesn't want to be identified. I think it's Dr. James Wright from The Mike Walsh Show.
Ah.
You know, the Happy Medico. But he's an associate...
And not the vet who's on the Jungle Show.
Chris, what's his name? Chris Brown.
Dr. Chris Brown, yeah. The surfing lovable rogue. Is he a rogue? No, he's not a rogue. It could be him.
You know, I was always wanting to, you know, because he used to, was Bondi Vet, right?
Yes.
And then they had Bondi Rescue.
Yes.
Right, and I thought it would be great to sort of merge the two shows.
Yes.
So you could have Bondi Pet Rescue.
Yes.
So that they'd actually have, like, dogs and cats going out and doing the life-saving on Bondi.
You're born for television.
It'd rate its head off.
Yeah.
Anyway, this doctor is an associate professor of medicine, so he's not a full professor, and an Order of Australia recipient. Still doesn't want to be identified, but he said Burgess's claims that we just heard were total rubbish talk.
Right, rubbish talk.
Yeah, he said, the larynx does not like any pressure, including an elbow attached to 115 kilograms.
Gorilla.
Gorilla.
Yeah, yeah.
There are many nerves. It spasms and can feel catastrophic.
Wow.
Burgess needs an anatomy lesson. It can be just as painful as a testicle blow.
Wow. And did he know that Josh Morris was looking forward to a thespian career? He needs that voice.
That's
Laurence Olivier style. What would happen if he damaged his vocal cords? A la Darren Lockyer.
It's just typical South hubris, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, but
I tell you what, I stand and pull them, and they beat the Roosters last week.
Oh, fantastic! How good was that?
How good was rugby league? Don't chalk it up, Chris.
Damien Cook, put him in the Origin team now, and Tom and George. Yeah. Once they worked out, and the Morris boys, who are clearly struggling, need to learn
clearly
this.
Struggling.
George grows his hair. Mm. We now can comfortably watch the South game and go, "That's George. That's Tom."
We know them. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Whereas I was continuously distracted last night. I'm trying to watch this absorbing 6-0 snooze fest between the ball, and every time Josh and Brett are near each other, I go, I know they've got different numbers on, but I can't see them if they're facing the camera.
You have to say, can one of you just talk? I want to see who's got the damaged larynx.
He sounds like Darren Lockyer. Yeah. Right. But if there is someone who does have an acting career waiting for him in rugby league,
Billy Slater.
It's got to be Billy Slater.
Now he's been labelled an acting cat because he's known as a cat because he's up to sneaky tricks and
he's
games.
He's been a cat for years.
He slides in with a foot here. You know, is that a grub? Not really. He's a cat.
Well,
he leads
with a knee.
I think that's besmirching actual cats, to be true.
It's a really tough call on
cats. Yeah, and what happens if there's a Bondi Vet show and there's a cat out in the ocean swimming? Would you want to rescue a cat if they're so smeared?
Exactly. Why are they out there in the first place?
Exactly. But anyway, an acting cat? Is there such a thing?
There is, in fact...
Yeah, a great history.
There is... I think to label Billy an acting cat is, besmirching the reputation of some of the great thespian felines in history.
I'd go Garfield.
Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss, yeah.
Top cat.
Top cat.
The indisputable leader of the gang.
He's the most... He's the whatever.
The most tip-top. Top cat.
Top cat, yeah. Cat in the hat. I know it's not Hollywood.
Halle Berry as Catwoman, not so good.
Wow.
Michelle Pfeiffer,
Eartha
much better.
Kitt.
Eartha Kitt.
Wow, come on now.
And can I just say, probably...
Michelle?
Not
Michelle Pfeiffer?
No.
I
think the first time I became aware of that there is this thing called attraction was when I saw Julie Newmar as Catwoman on Batman.
Take a moment to
She was perfect.
I think Eartha Kitt did it better.
Can I just give one anecdote from that show?
Yeah.
If I've got time. Catwoman's been captured again.
Yeah.
And, she's done this through with her feminine wiles, wooing men into doing bad things. And she's there and she goes, Batman, there's clearly attraction between
them. But Batman's clearly asexual.
Right, but there's something between them. And she goes, yeah. You know what? I should join with you, Batman. He said, because with your crime-fighting ability and my knowledge of the criminal mind, we'd be the perfect team. And he goes, but Catwoman, what about Robin? She goes, oh, we'd kill him.
Wow. Of course, we were inundated with people telling us that we were incorrect. There were more aspiring and marginally successful rugby league players who made a trek to Hollywood to knock on the doors to get some work. Isn't that right, Chris?
You hit me with the name, Stephen.
Well, Nick Youngquist.
Oh, yeah.
Had a good name. He had a good head for it, too.
Yeah.
I don't think there was much success came out of it, though.
Maybe Bold and the Beautiful, a couple of episodes of that, maybe.
We could have missed that.
Yeah.
Probably we were working. We didn't see it.
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin Gordon apparently made some foray into Hollywood.
He was entertaining on Instagram. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you had to be playing for the Titans.
Yeah. And so when you say, where do you write your Twitter? You said on Twitter.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Where does he perform? On Instagram.
That's right.
Okay, righto. And Jamal Idris' name came up for kids' television, but I don't think that really counts, does it?
And then producer Pat said to me, Gus Gould invented the 40-20 rule. So, you know.
What?
I would have sworn it was Super League, but, you know, I apologise unreservedly.
If anybody knows something different to us, of course, you can always text us here at Fire Up on 0409 945 945. It is Friday the 20th of April, and what's happening in football this week, Chris?
I think there's a full round of games to go, with the exception of the Roosters Bulldogs, which last night, and, you know, kudos to Ray Hadley here, love listening to him call games.
Gee,
it
how
was.
Much do you
it
love
was
that?
Absorbing.
It was absorbing. There, look, Ray Hadley is just. I mean, you know, we lost Daryl.
We did lose Daryl East. Like, let's face it, the agreed voice of Origin,
mm-hmm.
And a man who also brought excitement to weightlifting.
Yes.
And when I think weightlifting, I think Daryl Eastlake, and I think the Nigerian weightlifter with the best name in the world, Iron Bar Bassi.
Is that true?
That's right.
Yeah, he didn't make it up. Look, we all know that Rabs has got that voice. He can call anything. He can call swimming, and it's exciting.
Well, swimming, yeah, I mean, yeah. If you make swimming exciting. Yeah.
But Ray Hadley, you know, poetry. He's just got magic in those vocal cords.
There's something lyrical to the way the way Bolton.
Sensitive, nuanced, I'd say.
Don't accuse us of not talking the game up.
No, exactly. And if I may, and look, I know we've been talking about grubs and things, but there's been a lot of action in Brisbane very quickly. I don't want to get into Israel Folau's comments. I just don't. That's not talking anybody's game up.
That's not talking anything up.
Oh, I'd say any person who walks out on league to go to AFL is going to hell anyway.
He said that
that's all that matters.
He said that AFL psychologically ruined him.
Of course,
a million bucks a year.
Look at Carmichael Hunt.
Didn't do any good.
No good at all. No.
And again, it wasn't a procession. They didn't create a procession of rugby league players to AFL, did they?
Well, that was always the fear, wasn't it?
Yes.
Once you open the door, like, you know, Jared Hayne going over to America, oh, they're all going to leave.
It's the old guy waiting at the Euro Disney entry in The Simpsons. Hello, anybody?
Hey, how many drinks has Buzz had so far?
Per hour?
I don't know.
And what's, by the way, what's the psychology behind going, I'll have a full strength wine but a light beer? And is there such a thing as a light wine?
After 40 years of drinking, you'd think you'd know better, wouldn't you?
I think there's a market opportunity to come out with a range of light wines.
Light wine? Oh, they don't exist?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Have I missed anything in rugby league this week, Chris? Because you have been laid up having a sort of fine-tune down in the laboratory at Melbourne for a better performance.
That's
and
right.
You've been watching a lot of footy, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw an enormous amount of football, and I don't think you've missed a thing,
okay.
To be honest.
All right. What game are you looking forward to this weekend?
You're skating over the Brisbane thing, aren't you? Yeah, you don't want to talk about it. Can't we talk about it?
Well, Wayne walked from a press conference, didn't he?
Wayne blew up yesterday in Wayne's style.
What's going on in Wayne's world? he's not the full quid anymore, is he?
I tell you what.
He's lost his allure.
Personally, we alluded to it earlier, the Nathan Brown, Wayne Bennett, Little Wayne, Big Wayne thing. And
funniest line in rugby league. We missed it.
Yeah, I know. I'm on the operating table. Can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah. And it's such a great sort of Aussie line, isn't it? Yeah.
And you know, I actually think that Wayne wasn't insulted by the references to Nathan Brown about, you know, if he was, you know, thinking with Big Wayne, not Little Wayne. I think he was insulted.
I think he's pretty cock-a-hoo about the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. So to speak. But I think the main thing that upset Coach Bennett was the fact that Nathan Brown is the...
Not super coach.
Not just Coach Bennett
just
now, because he's in the twilight of his career.
Okay.
He's been stripped of the title super. It's a little bit like Grubb comes off Josh Reynolds, super has to come off Wayne Bennett.
Fair enough.
But it's the fact that Nathan Brown was the first grade NRL coach to most recently to walk out of a press conference. Right?
Yes,
that really, really got him.
Yeah.
So he manufactured outrage yesterday when he was being challenged about the possibility that Craig Bellamy could be earmarked for his job now that Paul Green's signed with the FNQ Cowboys by saying, "If I've got a great game of footy to talk up. If you don't want to talk about the football, I'm out of here. And so someone goes, "So about the Melbourne game," and he goes, That's it. And he storms out. So he's reclaimed his right as the most recent coach to storm out of a press conference.
But Nathan Brown, let's talk up rugby league, shall we?
Yes.
How good is rugby league?
It
Hashtag
is a great
how
game.
Good is how good?
Did you see that absorbing game last night?
I saw 5 minutes of it, and that was really absorbing. Yeah, 6-0, and 11,000 happy souls too. I think like any great comedian, you drop your line and you walk, and he did that line, and then he walked out the door, only to watch Mitchell Pearce look at him and going, "What did I just hear? You've left me with that, have you?" Very good stuff.
So the narrative is that super coach, because he still is a super coach, Craig Bellamy will finish up with the Melbourne Storm. And let's face it, who is a team in massive decline right now. Cameron Smith is like Nero fiddling in Rome.
And Bellamy can see the writing on the wall.
Yeah,
he wrote the wall.
Yeah,
he built the wall.
So he's going to take a year off.
Yes.
Pack up the robotics in the lab.
Book the vans.
Yeah, get all
many
the
vans.
Stands.
Yeah. Is he going to take all the professors and the entire team. Laboratory technicians?
The entire
all
team.
Of them.
The quantum computing.
And then everyone's going to go, "Where are the vans going?"
"We're going north."
Straight up the Hume.
Road trip,
okay. Now,
And he'll take a year off and then just move into Red Hill. And Coach Bennett will be sent off into the sunset. And there will be...
And Little Wayne's sunset.
That's right. And there will be probably what everybody fears most, Storm values at the Brisbane Broncos. It's a dark, foreboding future.
I don't think we've resolved the issue that is really more important to us, and that is, where does FireUp stand in support of Grubbs or in support of actually talking up rugby league? I'll leave that to the listeners to decide.
Okay. I think that's important, Stephen, because the only way is up.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!